Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Red Men Radio, episode number 50. Paul's off this week, so I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend, one Stehor.
Thanks. I don't know if I can live up to that billing, but I'll do my
best. I'm sure you can, Steve. I'm sure you can.
I'm one of those three things.
You're a myth, yeah. Okay, so we're going to go into kickoff question first and foremost. Then we're doing news and brief. We're talking about Watford. We're talking about Andy Robertson and Ndidi, Mo Salah. Liverpool versus Manchester City in the Champions League is our big topic. Topic two is Liverpool will not sell Mo Salah. But the kickoff question this week comes from at Silk on a Stick on Twitter, Seamus Keats. If you could make a five-a-side team filled with your favourite movie characters, who would you put in each position and why? I'll throw this one to you, Steele.
Yeah, so in goal, I've gone for the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man off Ghostbusters.
Oh, fuck off. I've gone for him as well. Are you kidding me?
Really?
Yeah, absolutely, look.
All right. I mean, there's going to be no room on the pitch. We've got two Stay Puffed Giants. Stay puff.
I thought I was having you right off there with that one.
I thought who's the biggest blob I can think of on one of my best films? I love Ghostbusters and I love the Stay Puff Marshmallow Man. All right, then, well, I mean, we both can't have them, so we're going to have to...
No, we can both have them. We make the rules. I make the rules for
okay.
This one.
Yeah, I mean, it's nil-nil.
Except, right back for me, Egon Spengler.
Go on. Well, I've gone for...
because you can just, you know... put your man into his little machine and just have off with you, and then you've got no goalkeeper.
I've gone in defence, Danny Meehan, who you might not know.
No, I do not know who that is.
Well, Danny Meehan is in, have you heard of Mean Machine?
Yeah.
It's Vinnie Jones.
Okay.
So he's going to boot you off the pitch.
Okay.
So as you try and vanquish my goalie, Vinnie Jones just come and kick him.
Okay, I added Egon Spengler. He's not part of my team, but it would be a good shout out knowing that you're coming up against the same
No, I haven't said that. Surely vanquishing my goalie is a red card.
No, I don't think so. I'm not hurting him in any way, shape, or form. I'm just going to put him in a corner of the pitch that you can't get to his goal.
I mean, that's got to be unsportsmanlike conduct, that worst. Surely it's obstruction.
All right, well, listen, we're living in a world where the Stay Puff Marshmallow Man's a real thing.
Yeah.
We can accept that this game of football is, you know, Vinnie Jones is a red card waiting to happen in and of himself. I've gone for Tony Montana from Scarface.
With or without the gun?
With the gun, of course.
Well, that's terrifying.
Exactly. You can have Vinnie Jones. I've got Tony Montana, mate.
Surely he would fail the post-drug test.
Probably, but there's no drugs test in this five-a-side.
Oh, really? Okay, then.
So we're laughing there. So far, I'm battering, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's your next player?
Midfield, I've got for Jason Bourne. Now, I think Jason Bourne is the hardest movie character in the world ever in terms of... no special powers. He doesn't need weapons or anything. He's just dead hard. Like if you said, like put all the movie characters in the world in a big fight, you can't use any special powers and there's no weapons. Bourne, I think, would ultimately end up winning that fight. He's got a good engine. I've seen him run loads in them films.
Yeah, he does. And he can, you know, vault rooms.
Yeah, he bursts through Paris. So I can imagine him just breaking the lines. Well, so I think Bourne is going to run rings.
Okay, my next guy comes from Goodfellas. It's Joe Pesci's character, Tommy.
Okay.
Armed with a pen and you know, a shoe or something like that. I mean, this guy's a violent person.
He's very violent.
He's not funny. Don't accuse him of being funny.
He's my
enforcer in the middle of the park if I need another one.
He's a bit little.
Yeah, but that's what I like about him. No one sees it coming.
Little terrier like.
He is. That's it. Like Joe Allen, if you will.
a little Leon Britton. Right, okay. My next player is a guy called Corporal Lewis Fernandez.
Sounds terrible at football.
Have you seen Escape to Victory?
No.
It's Pele.
Okay, sounds.
He's boss.
He's pretty decent.
He scores an overhead. Class. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I can see that. So is he? You've basically got Pele.
Yeah.
Okay, sad. I mean, it's a good shout. I'm not going to argue with it. It sounds like a good one.
Apparently, he was good at footy. And
Okay, well, you've got Pele, and my next two picks are going to go. I'm going to go psychological warfare on you.
Okay.
I'm going to go
Viagra.
No, I'm going to go Cobb. Do you know who Cobb is?
I don't. Explain.
Certain little film called Inception.
Oh, you're going to get in my head.
I'm going to get in your head. I'm going to get Pele in your head and make him think that he's on my team.
Oh. Right, so. Just plant dreams of like having an erection in his head and just ruin his life.
And I'll give you my last pick. It's Scarecrow from Batman Begins.
Yeah, terrifying.
Yeah. So your players aren't going to know what's going on because they're going to be in some mad wild dream and then I'm going to incept them.
See, my striker was the lad from goal.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to hold up against my psychological warfare in this game.
I think if the ref, if you've got a hard but firm ref, I've got a chance. You know, he lays down the law early with an early yellow for when you put me goalie in the corner. But if he lets Joe Pesci stab someone with a pen early doors, then I'm in trouble, aren't I?
Yeah. Who did you pick a manager?
I didn't pick a manager.
I've gone for Tony D'Amato from Any Given Sunday. Just for another Al Pacino character. He's in my side twice, once as the manager and once in the team. He's going to be giving the team talk.
I mean, if you're down two at half time, you get
he's
in
the there. Guy.
He's the one you want. Yeah,
he's
right?
The guy.
Manager wise, you know what? Have you, on Escape to Victory again, I quite like that Sylvester Stallone character in goal, and he knows nothing about footy. I don't want him. I want the lad who's willing to break his own arm. So that Sylvester Stallone can go and goal. If you're willing to break your own arm for the team, that's an inspirational figure for you, isn't it? So you say, listen, lads, or you there, you worry about getting stabbed with a pen? Just broke my arm, pal.
So that he's not in the team, so that he's not getting stabbed with a pen, so that he next man up.
Well, he broke his arm on purpose because he must let Sylvester Stallone play so he could escape. He broke his own arm. If you're willing to do that for your team, I think, you know, that's inspirational. You've got inspirational speeches. I've got a man of action. You know, Al Pacino can chat all he wants. Until he breaks his own arm for the good of the team. I don't think he's as good a leader.
I'm going to instruct Tony Montana to just shoot that guy. Okay, so we're going to go into
that's a straight red, surely.
No, it's not in the rules of the game.
I need cleaner.
Show me the official FA rules of the game where shooting someone isn't allowed.
I mean, surely it's unsportsmanlike conduct at worst. You're after Craig, Craig Pawson's ref, who let you get away with murder. I'm after like John Moss, who sends you off for anything. Okay. I think that's what we're after.
I'm going to incept John Moss and make him think he's Pawson. Okay, so we're going to go into the news in brief. Steve,
we did, yeah.
We snotted Watford at the weekend.
Yeah.
It was a good day. Saturday was a good day to be a Liverpool fan.
It was, yeah. I mean, it was people who don't know this, who didn't go, or what, it was absolutely freezing cold and the conditions were terrible. And when I saw that, you know, the blizzard and the snow, I thought, Watford might be up for this. And I fancy, you know, dogging it out a bit. It's almost, you know, can you do it on the cold, wet Wednesday in Stokewell? Can you do it on the cold Saturday when it's snowing at Anfield? And Liverpool did. They stood up to everything, just outplayed them completely. What I would say, Watford's defence, I thought between 1-0 and 2-0, Watford were actually quite good, and we weren't brilliant. But what we've got in our team, we've got lads who create magic moments, and we created like 7, 8, 9 of those, and we scored five of them. And you just think, that must be so difficult, because if I'm Watford between 1 and 2, I'd been quite happy with how we were playing. We weren't really creating too many chances, but they were in the game, and they were forcing errors. But then Liverpool just create two absolute moments from absolutely nowhere. You know, Mo Salah, obviously, at the beginning, and then right at the end when he gets on the end of the cross. It's just like you can't stop that. And I just think it must be really, really disheartening as a team. Watford probably thought they played all right that game, and they got beat 5-0. They probably thought, you know what, we defended pretty good, we kept them fair, we kept them where we wanted. We limited Mo Salah to 4 shots on goal.
Normally Mo Salah scores 1 in 4, he scored 4 in 4 in this game. Yeah. And that Liverpool side, for me, the way that we're managing to sort of control the ebb and the flow of games now as well. And, you know, we sort of sit in for 5 minutes, then we break with ridiculous pace. I remember watching us lose 3-0 to Real Madrid in the Champions League a few years back. And the way that they just pass it round, and then all of a sudden they'd spring forwards and score a goal. That's what this Liverpool side's got in its locker now. And listen, I don't want to spend too long on it. We've done loads on the website on Watford, loads of podcasts, loads of shows, but we'll move on. Andy Robertson, apparently it's come out this week that he's knocked on Jurgen Klopp's door early on in the season. I think he'd only been involved in three match day squads at the time. And, you know, he had a little word with the manager. And not like a, why aren't I playing, boss? But it was more of a, what can I do to get into this side? And did you read the article? How boss is Andy Robertson?
Yeah, I felt a bit sorry for him at first because he come in at Palace. He got man of the match against Palace, didn't he? And then we didn't see him again. So there was obviously something, whether it's in training or on that in that game, what the managers didn't like. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if he's been told, you know what, mate, you know, you need to work on this and this and go back. And it's according to what he said when he knocked on the door, that's what he was told. The manager was open and honest and said, right, you need to learn how to do this and this, and when you're doing it, you'll get your chance. He got his chance through, I don't know, a player getting injured, and he just grabbed it. And that's what you should do. You know, when you're battling for a place in a side, show no mercy. And Steven Gerrard said this a while ago, didn't he, on interview? He said, like, once I got my place in that Liverpool team, I wasn't giving it up. So I did whatever it takes. And he might have got him through injuries, he might get him through a suspension, he might get in because someone's having a bad time or whatever. Once you're in, show no mercy to that other lad. And I know it's a team sport and, you know, you're all together. But ultimately, there's only 11 places up for grabs. There's only one left back on the pitch. Make sure it's you. And I'd be saying to Trent Alexander-Arnold and Joe Gomez, they'd be doing the exact same. Get yourself in the side and make it impossible for the managers to leave you out. And that's what Robertson's done. You can't leave him out now. He's playing too well. And that's all you can do as a player. And I just think for him to... He's only quite young, isn't he? He's come from a, you know, he's been playing for a pretty rubbish team. He's been on a team that's been getting hiding after hiding a couple of years last year. So walk into Liverpool, and like I say, he had a decent start, then we went away, and since he's come back into the side, he's been unbelievable.
He's
been
performing at a level now for Liverpool where I can't remember any left back performing at this level since I've been an adult, certainly. Yeah. And you think about it and you think, well, who are the great left backs of the last, let's say, 15, 20 years? And Jonathan Rhys is kind of the one that jumps out at you. And was he actually that good? Nobody was solid. And, you know, he had those moments that you can talk about, that you can hang your hat on, those big goals and those wonder strikes and stuff like that. But Andy Robertson is bringing more to the attack than I think any left-back's done for Liverpool over the last 15, 20 years. And I feel a little bit sorry for Moreno because I thought Moreno was brilliant this season, bar Sevilla. But there's no way that you're putting Alberto Moreno back in now. And Robertson, as you say, he's been ruthless. He's found that position. He's carved out a good working relationship with Mane and with the other centre midfielder, be that Milner, be that Can, be that Wijnaldum, whoever's in there, he seems to have a great understanding with them. And Mane's role slightly evolved so that he's playing a little bit more central. The two of them on that wing now are looking like that's one of the strengths of this Liverpool side. And I wouldn't say he's been massively tested, but he's had those games against Everton and against Manchester City where you can hang your hat on it and go, you know what, when he's been tasked to defend, he's been really good at that side of the game as well, hasn't he?
Even United, I thought he was pretty good at Old Trafford in a defensive role. I was at the Watford game where I was sitting. I was quite close in the Kenny Dalglish stand, scored now in Los Centenary, and by the end of the game he was literally playing like up front on the left. He was almost doing what Mane does, and James Milner was covering for him, and I was that close. I could hear them shouting at each other. And basically Milner said to him, going, you know, I've got you. Literally said, I've got you. And he was just pushing Robertson like right up the pitch. And that's what he can offer you, because he's got the pace to get back. So his starting position can be well, well higher. Because if we lose the ball in midfield, and to be fair, Moreno can do this as well. Yeah. They're both lightning quick and they can both get back. Trent to an extent could do it. Joe Gomez, I don't think, could do that yet. So the balance he offers the side, he's almost playing two roles at once. He's playing left back and he's our left wing / midfielder. Because Sadio Mane is a de facto number 10 almost now. Him and Mo Salah are wingers, but they're almost always in between the penalty area. They're always in between the sticks where they should be in terms of this system. It's a thankless job he's got, but he does it really, really well, and I agree. He's got good. His character looks spot on. You know, the thing about him, you know, he sends a kid, he notices a kid doing stuff for a food bank and congratulates him. I met him after the Palace game. Seems like he had a, you know, good head on his shoulders, good lad. I think we found one. I think he's another one where you can think, you know what, we found one. It's how I thought after 6 months of having a final client to an extent. It's like, that's boxed off now. That's fine.
Forget about that for a few years.
Your fullbacks, you never want to worry about your fullbacks. You just want to plug in and you want them to play. Steve Finnan was a good example. Just pick him at right back and we'll be fine. Early Glenn Johnson was like that until it went wrong, so hopefully it doesn't go out that way. But you don't want to be worrying about your fullbacks. You just want them on the pitch playing well, and that's what he's done.
And the fact that the cop is singing his name every week is going to help him massively.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we're going to move on then. We've got a little bit of transfer news, and one of the things that I read on Read Liverpool, actually your site, is that Liverpool want Ndidi. Can you shed some light on this one for us?
Yeah, apparently it was a journalist in France, actually. He was the guy who broke the Naby Keita stuff. I wasn't that aware of him, but I did some digging with a few people, and they said, like, you know, he is reliable. A few people who do in the journalism world, I asked a few questions of. They hadn't heard this themselves, but they said, like, that guy's usually good in terms of his connections with the agents and stuff, who often represent French and African players, so that could be a positive. It just said Liverpool are after him, they've been in talks with him again.
We scouted them all season long, haven't we?
Yeah, they said they've literally been at pretty much every Leicester game watching him. There was a lot of talk, wasn't there, when Liverpool were at Leicester? Maybe they were looking at Mahrez, but obviously it turns out that maybe they were watching this lad. I see the logic behind it. Again, first of all, he's African. That's a thing. Why not?
And before anyone loses this shit, they've moved the tournament to the summer and we're absolutely fine to go after African players.
And that's a big thing for African players, I think, as well. That's one less reason to put you off buying an African player, is that you're going to have them all the whole season. I still think it looks... I know he hasn't made this decision on his future, but it looks like Emre Can's going to go. Henderson's injury is just mean that you can't rely on him to play 30, 40, 50 games. You need another number six.
Is this the type of number six that you'd like to see Liverpool sign, or would you like someone a bit more like Jorginho, who has the ability to play a few more passes?
If I was picking a team, I'd want a Jorginho type player, just because I think you still need to be a bit more creative. But I haven't seen, and he's not really tasked with doing that at Leicester, so maybe he can do that role better. Maybe obviously the scouts and stuff.
I do think he's a bit underrated on that side of the ball. First and foremost, I think he is a destroyer. You can see he's top of those tackling stats and those interceptions he's very good at and stuff like that. But like you say there, mate, I think he has got a little bit more. Whether he's at the level where he can move the ball quickly enough for this Liverpool side, I'd question that maybe. You know, Henderson on a good day is very good at moving the ball quickly and where he wants the team to play down. If he sees a gap, if someone's slightly out of position, he'll move the team that way. I think that comes with experience as well. You know, Ndidi's, I think he's 21 now, isn't he? So, you know, a few more games. But the fact is, he's come into this Leicester side. He's taken Kante's position. He's kind of made it his own. And they're big shoes to fill in the former, you know, Premier League winners. Premier League winning side, so it's a difficult one for Ndidi, but I think he can make the step up. I'm not sort of seeing him as a 40-50 game a season player for Liverpool. I'm seeing him as like a 20-25 for those big games, like Manchester City away would be a good game for somebody like that to come in and just try and solidify your team. And I just wonder whether this Liverpool side is going to sort of evolve into the Manchester City type side that Guardiola's building. And what I mean by that, Steve, is that for me, the one thing that City have done better than even Wenger, and Wenger's tried this, when Wenger's Invincibles were around, they had two really great sort of defensive-minded midfielders. You think of Petit, you think of Vieira, you think of the Brazilian lad.
Gilberto.
And, you know, there was always someone alongside them, and they were able to play with one creative midfielder who could join the attack. What Manchester City have been able to do this season is play one guy who wasn't really a defensive midfielder. He was box-to-box and Fernandinho, and play two, essentially, what you consider number 10s in De Bruyne and Silva. And that, I think, changed the landscape of English football. And I think he would give us that option whereby if we've got someone who's a bit more defensive, we could play two more attacking midfielders. Whereas the way it is now, I feel like because Henderson's not really a DM, we need that other box-to-box guy to allow us to have the one attacking guy, whereas we might be able to go Ndidi, two really attacking players.
Yeah, it all makes sense. And I can see the logic in getting him. And he is someone we haven't really got anyone like that. He's most reminds me a bit like Gini Wijnaldum. Mm-hmm. He kind of reminds me of that role now. He's a bit more physical and stuff, but he's more defensive-minded than Wijnaldum. He doesn't really get in the box that much, although he has scored some good goals for Leicester. You know, he's got a thunderbolt shot on him, which is always a positive. If it was me, I'd prefer a Jorginho, but, you know,
he would seem to fit a little bit more, Jorginho,
wouldn't he? Jorginho is just a better Henderson than, you know, and a more reliable version of Jordan Henderson. He does everything Henderson does.
That like, sort of deep lying playmaker role.
Exactly, yeah. He's more, but it's a more offensive. Listen, you could buy both. Mm. You could easily buy both of them.
And got the money.
Yeah, absolutely. It's there to spend. If Emre Can's going, if you bought those two and you start maybe phasing James Milner, that, which may be a bit unfair because he's played well. But then you could have Henderson, if he obviously he'd still be there. And Ndidi and Naby Keita, Jorginho, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Wijnaldum.
Lallana.
A bit, I mean, it's hard to rely on him. A bit of Lallana, maybe a bit of Milner. There's options there for you to have. listen, what you want, you want to be able to lose two players and not be absolutely on your ass dead, you know, we, in terms of your squad. So we wouldn't be, I don't think they'd buy two. I think it'd be one or the other. And to be honest, I think it's more likely to be Ndidi than it is Jorginho. He's a good player. I'd have no issue with it. You know, there's links to Corey at Watford, who I think is a good player. He didn't look particularly great at the weekend, but he is. I think he's good. I can see the logic in Klopp maybe thinking, if Jordan can't play, and it, because we're getting Naby Keita, who's very offensive-minded, maybe we do need someone who's a bit more, like what you said. If say, for example, if it's going to be Keita and, say, Chamberlain, then you probably do need someone who's a bit more defensively minded than Henderson, so it would make sense.
Okay. Right, big topic of the day, Liverpool drawn against Manchester City in the Champions League quarter-final. First game to be played April the 4th at Anfield. Following that is the 10th of April at the Etihad. I was really scared for this draw. I was really hoping that we wouldn't get Manchester City. I think anyone who watches the live show that we did on YouTube will know that. How are you feeling about this thing?
I'm with you. It was the one... I ranked them all beforehand, 1-7. In terms of who you want, 1 is who you want, and 7 is who you least want, and City were 7th. So it's the worst possible draw, I think. I have a feeling, and there's been some talk that, you know, Liverpool always like to have the away leg second, and I do understand that in some cases. I think these are the only ones I'm happy with it being first.
Why is that?
I think we would lose. We could lose heavily at the Etihad, and it wouldn't. You know, you could play well and get beat 3-0, and the tie's pretty much gone. Get them to Anfield and see what happens, and get them in, get in front of our fans with our atmosphere, with us. You know, we know what it's like. They've never experienced. They won't have experienced anything like this. What they're going to face at Anfield, and just see. I think it affected them in the league game. When we scored our second in the league game, they felt a bit. And we got two more very, very quickly, didn't we? So it can happen again. I think they could intimidate. Secondly, the return, like, the Etihad's not going to be intense. There's not going to be a great atmosphere. It just isn't. That's not what it is. And if it's a tight contest and it go, you know, the away goals in the second leg might be beneficial to us, especially if we can go there with a lead and make them come at us and just try and hit them on the counter. Listen, they're great. And they could come to Anfield and snot us because they are that good. And vice versa, we could give them a game. So I think in this case, I think having the home leg at first gives us a much, much better chance.
You first told me about that, I think it was Saturday when we were going to the Watford game, and I'd not considered it at the time, and I was thinking, oh no, I don't like that. And the more I've sort of dwelt on it and stuff, the more I realised I agree with you. I think it's a great point. And this Liverpool side for me is built for those away legs in the Champions League. It's why I'm so gutted at City, to be honest. I think, you know, ultimately, I do think they're a better side than us right now. And I think a two-legged affair always favours the better side. Yeah. You can have those anomalies, of course. You know, we had that run in 2005 where we knocked out better sides than us. But I think over the course of it, it's just much easier to beat sides that you're better than. For me, there's been loads in the news in the last day. It's as we're filming now. The Daily Mail picked it up. Bleacher Report picked it up. Sport Bible have picked it up. This coach welcoming and all that type of stuff, and they're trying to make it out into a little bit more than what it actually is. And maybe the wording on the poster was a little bit wrong, and that, you know, it's kind of encouraging the pyro and the beers and all that type of stuff. Really, what it's about at the core, though, it's about welcoming this team and making a hostile atmosphere for Manchester City. We saw when we were vying for the league in 2013-14 that they shit themselves coming to Anfield. We saw it in the league early in the season when the atmosphere gets good, that we can pile on the pressure. That's what this is all about. I think it's been blown out of proportion. You know, the Daily Mail did something 2 years ago on the Dortmund stuff about how great it was that Liverpool fans were creating this atmosphere. Now it's being built in a completely different way. It's like watching politics unfold from a right-wing newspaper all over again. They just, when May does it, it sounds. When Corbyn did it 5 years ago, it's the worst thing that you've ever seen in your life. And that's what they're doing with this, and it's ridiculous. It's about creating an atmosphere at Anfield. It's about making it good for our team and bad for their team, which is the whole point of having a leg at each place. Do you know what I mean? This Liverpool side and us as Liverpool fans need to go out there, do it completely legally, go out there and make Manchester City shit themselves.
On paper, they're a better side than us.
Yeah, but they haven't got the fan base.
Yeah, they've got, arguably, you know, you've got better players at a lot of positions, not all of them, but in some of them, especially. You know, look at the league table. The league table never lies. Look at the results they've had. Look at what they've done. So we need to do something that either pushes us up to their level or brings them a little bit down to our level. And that's all that is. And I'm with you. The coach welcomes, I've been to plenty of them, you know, Chelsea, City,
Villarreal, Dortmund, we've had them for years.
Been to them all, never seen any problems. I've seen the odd knobhead maybe, you know, jump in front of a coach and get told to shift it, soft lad. But nothing, you know, I've seen, like, for example, when United turned up at West Ham a few years ago and you got bricks and penalties and stuff.
The last game, was it?
Yeah, you don't need none of that. That's just stupid and it's just bad press. And obviously West Ham fans are getting bad press at the minute, rightly or wrongly, but we don't need to do that. It's more, this is what usual, you know, lads, this, you're driving down the street, this is what you're coming into. And by the way, there's going to be like 50 or 1,000 of us lot in here now. Are you ready for it? And that's all it is. And conversely, when the Liverpool coach comes down, it's just giving them the, you know, we're behind you, this is what it is, this is what it means to us, all that kind of stuff. And I've heard players in the past, you know, put videos on social media and stuff and say how amazing it is.
Manchester United absolutely crapped themselves. Yeah. You know, there was those videos going around where they're all essentially hugging the floor, aren't they?
Which, again, you don't want people, you know, smashing the coach.
No, you don't.
But it doesn't need to be. And, you know, the whole, I understand, you know, there's talk about, you know, you shouldn't bring pyro to football grounds and stuff. Well, yeah, in the ground, maybe. I'm kind of with you. I'm not a big fan of it. In the ground, it looks boss, but I've been involved in it. It's not particularly pleasant, I don't think. Outside the ground, it's kind of like, it's like, well,
if the as long as everyone's safe and the police will be involved.
If the police want
like
to stop them doing it, then they're well within the right, but they're not going to be able to stop us singing and they're not going to be able to stop us waving our flags and singing our songs. And that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, if we can get to the King Harry pub at 5:30 and the game doesn't kick off till 7:45, that atmosphere travels into the stadium as the fans all walk in there. You get in there and the songs are going 30 minutes before the game. Manchester City are getting dressed, you know, putting the shorts on and the boots on and all that in the dressing room, and they can hear Anfield, and that is the thing that it starts running through their mind, and they're starting to think about it, and they're thinking about it, like, bloody hell, it's loud now, it's 30 minutes before kickoff, what's it going to be like? And that's what gets into their head. And then when Manchester City get the ball and we start hissing and booing, they don't know what hit them. No team can deal with that. Anfield on a European night is absolutely special. It's talked about, it's heralded as special for a reason, because we've made these things happen before, we'll continue to make them, and we can do it in a safe environment, and we can show everybody that not only have we got one of the best football teams in the country, but we're still the best fan base in the country.
Yeah, would you mate, as I say, everyone, as long as it's all sound, safe, but, you know, don't do nothing stupid, go there, make as much noise as you can, boo them to death every time they touch the ball, boo, hiss, I don't care, do anything. Reminiscent of Chelsea 05 that season. Yeah. It's kind of that. I think we're a better team now than that Liverpool side was. But I think City are as good as that Chelsea side was. That Chelsea side had just won the league.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, 30-odd points ahead of us anyway. So there's a gap to bridge. I think it's a smaller gap. I think we're a better side than that. But by all means, if you can knock their performance off 2%, or you can raise our performance by 2-3%, it's well worth doing it. And like I say, as long as no one messes about, then by all means, I don't see the problem. I agree. it's being whipped up into a frenzy for nothing, and there's going to be all eyes, and now there's going to be extra attention on it, which, you know, we've been doing this for a while now in big games, so I don't see the big issue. Just that, like I say, the national press have kind of got hold of it a bit and are running with it. City apparently have had a little word about a complaint.
The police already know about it. The police have been there, every single one. Who do you think makes the space for the coach to come down? What I mean?
If I'm Pep Guardiola, I'm a City player, I would be furious at my team making that complaint. I'd be absolutely furious. It just does not... It reflects on news. What's the politically correct way of saying this? It makes you look a bit weak as a football club. You know what I mean?
And a bit of a grass.
A bit of a snitch, a bit of a grass, and a bit of a wetty, you know what I mean? Like it does, doesn't it? It doesn't bode well. It makes you look like, fun police snitches and that. And it's going to make it worse. I'm telling you now. Now there's people who know that that's going to affect them. There's going to be more people there.
Yeah. Good. So that's what we want. We want to create atmosphere. We want to make it happy. We want you to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The complaint's just proven that it's going to work.
I hope so. Yeah, fingers crossed.
Okay. So we're going to talk about Mo Salah and the fact that Liverpool will not sell Mo Salah after this little shameless plug for my stats and tactics show on the RedmenTV.com.
This is against Watford here. You can see that. And you can see that central area that I talk about. We've just looked at the Manchester United one. This is against Arsenal when we beat them 4-0. And he's very much the left winger in this game. And very, very different to these two, aren't they? Isn't that interesting that he's playing the same position, yet his heat map's completely different? This is against Southampton. These are both pre-Christmas games when he wasn't in great form, as it were. You know, coming out of it, out of Christmas and into January, February, March, he's been in much better form, and I just think that he's found himself a little niche in this side where he can find space on the field, but B, he can affect games a little bit more, and you know, he's not doing all of his work out on the wing. He's able to get inside, he's able to, you know, hit that space that Firmino might vacate. He's able to take shots on, but he's also able to create chances. And here's one on the right-hand side here. This is Phil Coutinho's heat map against Swansea in, what would you say, his first or... It's either his best game this season for us or his second best. I think Brighton was probably his best, as I mentioned before. But Swansea, you know, he had an absolutely brilliant day. I think we beat them 5-0 in Anfield. And isn't it interesting that it's the same style heat map against Swansea as the new Sadio Mane role? Just let that sink in. I thought that was really cool. I think that's really interesting. And again, if you compare it to what Sadio was doing in that left-wing position versus Arsenal versus Southampton, it's a real big difference, isn't it? And I just wonder whether there's a slight tinker in the formation, a slight tinker of the tactics by Jürgen and Sadio and everybody else because of the emergence of Robertson, the attacking threat that he's been, that's actually enabled Mane to play a little bit more central and find those pockets of space that I think he loves.
So, yeah, we hinted at it earlier in the show. That's a little bit of proof that it has changed over the course of this season. But we're going to talk about another guy who's lit the league up this season. It's Mo Salah. Chris Bascombe wrote an article late Monday, 10:30 came out on Monday, because that's when the news comes out nowadays, that Liverpool will not sell Mo Salah this summer. Ominous words there?
No, I think it's positive words. To be fair to FSG, they said this with Coutinho as well, and they kind of stuck to the words, they just changed their mind a bit later. I think Glenn Price from ESPN reported today as well, there's no release clause in the contract, which is, you know, an absolute worldie. What everything that was said in Chris Bascombe's article, and I encourage people to go and read it if they didn't.
It's on the Telegraph, by the way.
Which is how big clubs act. You know, we're not selling you. Go away. We're not selling him. He's under contract for 4 or 5 years, maybe 4 years this summer. We want to be what yous are now, and we're not going to get there by selling our best players. The only thing is, the proof will be in the pudding, because this has been said before. It's been said before, and then players have gone. So I can understand people being wary about it and anxious about it. It's just a bit sad that, you know, when a player gets so good, that automatically he's linked away with a move from Liverpool.
That's not sad for me.
It's not sad that he's that good. It's sad that people automatically think, well, he's off.
Yeah. What would you rather have, though, Steve? Would you rather have your best players not being wanted by the Madrids and Barcelonas of this world?
No,
would you rather Barnett want them? Because it means that they're crap. Do you know what I mean?
No, okay,
or would you rather want Real Madrid and Barcelona to be sniffing and us having to put our hands out and going, no, we're not going to sell him?
No, that's it. That's right. The issue is, Liverpool might say, yeah. For example, if Barcelona and Real Madrid wanted Kevin De Bruyne, No, you wouldn't even consider that might happen. Which wouldn't? No one's going to. No, not happening. Whatever.
But we've got. That's it. We've got a history of selling those players. That's the problem.
Yes, exactly.
Is this the man where we go? No, yes. We're all in on Mo Salah because he's going to take us to a title and to a European Cup or something.
Yeah, it should be. And I think it wouldn't be that long before Bobby Firmino's being linked with teams as well, you know, because he's that good. These players are that good. Now, listen, if a team needs a left-back, eventually Andy Robertson might be the left-back they go after. You know, there's tons and tons that could happen. It needs to sell. I've said it in the summer with Coutinho, in the winter, sorry. It needs to stop. And listen, we've done all right without Coutinho, but it's still never a good idea to sell your best players at any stage, ever. You just don't do it unless, like, you think they're like a bit of an idiot or whatever. It's got to stop, and I agree. I believe it. Maybe I'm naive, and maybe I'll be, you know, once bitten, twice shy and all that, but I do think that they're going to keep him for a while at least. It might be a couple of seasons, three, whatever. Why on earth would you let this player go?
You can't. You just can't.
If
we let him go, it's a travesty.
Yeah,
it's absolutely a travesty. But they're trying to build, like, listen, loads of talk about FSG, Steve. FSG are building Liverpool into something, aren't they? You know what I mean? And I think everybody can see that now, that they've got a plan, and it's not only the commercial side of the business, but it's also the football side. And the value of Liverpool Football Club is soaring and soaring and soaring, and Mo Salah's helping that. You know, we're getting a big influx of Arabic-speaking fans because of Mo Salah, but also, you know, in the wider sense, he's doing great things for the community, and not only that, for the Muslim community, there's a bit more, I think, acceptance, and I don't think that's right, that it should take a footballer to do that, but that's the way of the world now, and Liverpool have to keep hold of him. Liverpool will keep hold of him, certainly this summer, because ultimately, I think he's irreplaceable right now. I think he's top three in the world right now. Yes. That's how good Mo Salah's playing at. Like, listen, if you talk about story back history of a player and stuff like that, you got Cristiano Ronaldo, you got Messi, and he comes nowhere near them, but he's 25 years old, and this is his breakout season, you know what I mean? And if he does this for another 2-3 years, and there's no team in the league that can stop him, so there's no way you'd think, oh, well, anyone's going to stop him. It's not. We just need to keep hold of him. We need to make sure that he is the guy that we say no, because now we're in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. It's the first time we've been here since Rafa Benitez was our manager. Now we're in a better position as a club to turn around to people and go, no, we're not selling our best players. They can achieve what they want here at this club now, today, tomorrow.
Absolutely, yeah. There's just you can't just. There's no justification for that. Even if he fancies a move, no, just not go, mate. He doesn't come across like he would. If I, from his point of view, again, the draw of Real Madrid and Barcelona is always huge.
Yeah.
You can understand it. Liverpool need to make it worth his while for him to stay. Pay him what he needs to be paid. Give him the assurance he needs to be assured, and fucking win things. How do you keep good players happy? Give them loads of money and give them medals.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And Barcelona and Real Madrid can do that to them. And for them, Man City have been doing that for players, and that's why, you know, people were happy to go and sit on Manchester City's bench. Good top players are on, you know, Bernardo Silva is a top player. He could play for most teams around Europe. He's happy to be a bit part player because he's going to win league titles. He's in the European Cup quarter final, and he's on a big load of cash. So if we want to be a big club, that's how you act like a big club. You do it. The money's there now. You know, we mentioned before, financially they're stable. By all accounts, they are offering big wages out. You know, Virgil van Dijk's on one of the most, you know, we've record for FIFA defender, he's on nearly $200,000 a week or whatever. That's how you do it. Keep them happy, pay them what they need to be paid. You can pay them whatever you want, and you justify it. You know, it means nothing to anyone. The money's there, spend it, and ultimately try and win stuff. So, and if it's not this year, make sure you're winning stuff next year. If you're winning stuff and the pockets are filled, players will be happy.
It doesn't feel at the moment, before we move on, like Liverpool used to have to sell a vision for what Liverpool's going to be.
Yeah.
I think every player now can look at it and go, okay, Klopp's nearly there and I could be the final piece in this jigsaw. And you're not selling a team in transition anymore. You're selling almost the finished article. And if we keep improving the way we are, there's going to be more players who want to play for Jürgen Klopp on this Liverpool side.
Absolutely.
So before we move on to your questions, another shameless plug, apologies. But if you enjoy podcasts, right, we're doing 20 a month now on the redmentv.com. It's £5 a month. First month's free. Now's a great time. We've got loads and loads of post-match, pre-match content. It's a really good time to support us. If you can, do it. If you can't, don't. But thank you. Enjoy the free stuff. So, Aidan Brannick, describe your perfect burger, and then a burger emoji.
Obviously. I mean, as questions go, this is right down my alley, isn't it? I mean, I'm a big fan of burgers, as anyone who's watching the video show can probably attest at the minute.
Yeah, we're on YouTube.
Yeah, probably.
All bought and paid for,
yeah,
that, lads.
Yeah, there's... If anything, there's too much of it at the moment. I've got a Christmas suit to fit into in a few months now. I'm trying to lose weight. Anyway, as I've been mowing about all day, as I've been eating grapes and stuff. Perfect burger.
He's been eating grapes and then going downstairs for chocolate biscuits on his own. He's been shame eating downstairs.
No, there's definitely no biscuits. I would love a biscuit, but it's fine. Perfect burger. It's got to have bacon on it.
Yeah.
It's got to have cheese on it.
Yeah.
I quite like a jalapeno on my burgers. Yeah. I go for a bit of spice. So a bit of spicy salsa, a bit of jalapeno, a bit of cheese, a bit of bacon. Two patties. I want two patties on there. I want a toasted bun.
Fuck's sakes.
And I want sesame seed bun as well.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, yeah. So it's two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Okay.
AKA the Big Mac.
You've gone for the Big Mac.
No, but you know that's an advert from the 70s for McDonald's. You can tell I like a McDonald's. So it's a toasted bun.
Yeah,
I prefer a little bit of brioche. I like that sweetness. Ooh. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
right. I toast one side of the bun, and I think this is really important. I only toast the inside because you don't want the sauce leaking into your bread.
Yeah.
Whereas if you toast it, you get a nice little char, and it comes a little bit of a tough surface, and it can't impregnate your bun, basically. So I'm going one bun,
yeah,
brioche,
well done,
sweetened, toasted on the inside.
Yeah,
mayo.
No, I'm out.
Yeah. One thin beef patty, cooked high heat, flipped both sides, nice and pink in the middle.
Okay.
Cheese, American cheese, and I'm sorry, it's American cheese on a burger, right? All day, baby. Then I'm throwing some crisp bacon in, and how I cook my bacon for a burger is I get a tray, deep tray, heavy tray. It's got to be heavy because you want your bacon to be crisp. Put some bacon parchment down on there. Line your crispy bacon up, your streaky bacon. Sorry, smoked, of course, obviously. I mean, everybody knows it's smoked bacon. Then throw some more bacon parchment on and another heavy bottom tray on top of that. Throw that in the oven, right? And this is the weird thing, right? So start the oven off. Just put it in. Don't heat your oven up. Turning up to gas mark 7, and as that heats up, it'll come out, and when you lift that thing up, it's crisp American style. You can wave it around and it doesn't flop or anything like that, right? Get that on top of the cheese.
I had that issue so much.
Get that on the cheese. I know. Get that on the cheese. Get another fucking burger on there. Do the same. High heat, bang, bang, cheese, more bacon, yeah? Absolutely sound with this. Then I'm throwing lettuce, then I'm throwing gherkins, then I'm throwing the jalapenos on just like you. Little bit of red onion, and now I prefer my red onion fried. Burgers are a pain in the arse for me, by the way. I don't cook them very often because I'm very, very particular about it. Throwing ketchup on, and then I'm throwing... what's the yellow squirty mustard, the American mustard, burger mustard, yeah? Mustard. And then the other side of your toasted bun. That's called a Chrissy Mac. It's amazing. Yeah. You should get one. It's the best thing ever. Spent far too much time on burgers, so CP Pocky, we're definitely going to Mackey's after this. CP Pocky says on our Facebook group, actually, for subscribers, Timo Werner, Ndidi, Alisson, Draxler. Do you think all the above could be realistically signed in the summer, or are we asking too much? Prioritise these. First to fourth, who you'd sign and why?
Okay, question one again. Question one, yeah, I'm halfway through it already. Realistically,
I want a burger, man.
Could we sign all those? We could. I could see.
Will
us,
we?
No, I could see it. I could see us. You could see goalie, midfielder, and maybe one forward. I couldn't see Werner and Draxler, for example. Mm-hmm. Whether it's those players or those positions, I could see one. I couldn't see two. In terms of ranking them, I've gone Alisson one, Werner 2, Draxler 3, and Didi 4. That's how I rank them. Karius has been very good, and I can't argue with that. I think Alisson's got the ability to be one of the best in the world, so you can get him. If the price is right, get him. Again, 70 million, 80 million quid is a lot, so you can see why that would put them off. Werner 2, I think we are on the edge of a cliff with Roberto Firmino, in terms of he's playing every game, he's so vital to the squad, and the drop off at the minute between Ings and Solanke is just too big. And I've quite liked what I've seen in cameos from Danny Ings, but the proof's there. Werner will allow you to play him. He can play front. He offers you the chance. He can play wide if needs be as well, so you can give the other two a rest. And he can also be a proper nine if you decide that there's a game where you might need to play a proper number nine and you don't need the running around stuff that Firmino offers you, which Werner can do as well. I've gone for Draxler 3. Same reason. I think we are short of a wide forward, and again he can be a 10 or he can be a wide forward, so he can get his games. I just think we're gambling on Mane and Salah a bit too much. The backups are genuine backup options. There's a big drop off again. And DD4, again, I like him. I think he's good, but I think we could cope with our midfield that we're going to have. Even if Chan does leave, I think it might mean that someone else has got to play a bit more six, whether it be Milner or Wijnaldum. Wouldn't be ideal, but I think that would be, I think we'd get by a bit better than we could with the others.
Okay, so for me, I'd go Werner 1, Ndidi 2, Alisson 3, Draxler 4. And I've got more positions than players. Yep. I think if Werner's available, go and get him, just for the sake of it. I like to collect things and to collect him. Ndidi, because I think we do need a defensive midfielder. Alisson, I've said this a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, I think Karius is playing really well at the moment. I think you keep your options open on your keeper and you make a decision at the end of the season. Keep your options open. Karius might be the guy. If Alisson is the guy, if Karius isn't, go and get Alisson. Yep. And Draxler, yeah, he's a player that I like, but I just prefer Werner. Okay, so Ivan Drazanic, what do you think of Manchester City supposedly contacting authorities, bedwetters? Rishabh Singh, favourite non-football books? Okay.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah. Oh, do you want me to go first?
No, I've got one. My favourite book of all time. I don't know how this is going to shine me in light.
The Bible?
No. I've never read it.
What about the children's Bible? Possibly. Decent stories.
Possibly, but no.
Not sure they're all true, though.
I mean, I'd guess not. But, I mean, let's save that for the Red Man Atheist podcast. I've gone for To Kill a Mockingbird. It's my favourite book.
Okay.
I like To Kill a Mockingbird.
Okay. I mean, is this a real life thing or is it just a book?
I don't like killing mockingbirds. Okay, that's like sign of a psychopath. I mean, the actual book, it's probably my favourite book. So yeah, I've gone for that.
It deals with didn't have you as a To Kill a Mockingbird kind of guy. I've never read it, so I don't know what it's about.
It deals with like race issues, inequality across the board. So whether it's sexism, racism.
Kind of like Twitter.
Classism.
A little bit like Twitter.
A little bit like
except
that.
Except to promote it at the same time.
A little bit, yeah, not the best. Going completely the other way at the minute. Obviously, young kid, bedtime stories. My kid's into the skeletons book, you know, the big skeleton, little skeleton, dog skeleton.
Yes. Top. Funny Bones.
Loves it.
Funny Bones. Yeah. Steve, my brother, who's 30 years old, had that book, and I read it to Robin.
Yeah, Lucas.
Steve's not very happy that it's a funny book.
Lucas loves it. So on the other end of the spectrum, I like the... And you get to have a little sing-song in the middle. So you read your story, the, you know, the dog falls to bits, and next minute you get to have a little sing-song when you put them back together.
Okay, so kids' stories. We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. Yeah. What a beautiful day. I'm not scared.
Does anyone with kids, anyone out there just sitting there just strangling? I hate that. I hate that book. And the stupid tab always rips. I've ripped about four of those things off to sell the tape together and everything.
Yeah,
I hate it.
Yeah, okay. So my favourite books, I'm into sci-fi, so Star Wars before all the new books. I read about 40 years past the films, a ridiculous amount of time, and they've got rid of it all. Really annoyed, can't pick up the new books, but the Throne trilogy is the best one. I think it's a duo. His Dark Materials, my kid's named after a character in His Dark Materials. Lyra from Philip Pullman. The Lord of the Rings is far and away my favourite books, and it has been for such a long time. Howard Marks, Mr. Nice, it ranks up there as well. About a guy who, just go and read it, just Google him. He, you know, he died recently, but he was a drug dealer from Wales. He was one of the biggest drug dealers in the world. He ended up working for MI5 and all this. It's a true story. It's his book. Like, it's absolutely incredible. So there's some of my non-football
I tend to go
books.
Classic.
Yeah, I can tell.
Mockingbird, Tale of Two Cities.
Funny Bones,
yeah. Instant Hungry Caterpillar.
Hungry Caterpillar.
Yeah, that's on the shelf.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I tend to go for the classics. I'm not a big sci-fi or I'm definitely not a fantasy person. You know, like Lord of the Rings and all that. Not for me.
I mean, we know all about your sex life in the Redmen TV office, so we knew you weren't a fantasy kind of a guy. I'm not going to mention any more than that, Steve, so you sound.
Thanks. Let's move on.
So at Liam Cole 60 77 83 92, do you have to remember that?
I imagine like
he's American. That's his house number.
I just don't remember like my password for stuff. He's I'm half if it was username and I've forgotten that. You know when it says forget password, he's got to press forget username first. Recycle his username to get his password, and that's a big one. That Liam, calm it down a bit.
No one's ever said that to me. The front three this season.
That's because your name's not Liam.
And because I don't know. The front three this season has blown our minds and we've gave them loads of credit. But do you think other individuals deserve the same credit? E.g. Chan, Robertson, even Hendo at times when he's played, says Liam, Cole, 60, 77, 83, 92.
It's a lot of numbers. Same credit? No, because I think the job of those other players is to facilitate those front three. The whole team is built to get the ball to those three and let them wreak havoc. But if people play well, by all means, of course, give them credit. Listen, no one's having a season like Mo Salah, so he's obviously going to get the credit. He scored every single goal. The one player I think deserves it as much as those three at the moment, I think Van Dijk is exceptional in everything he does. I think he's made, you know, the mistake against Tottenham, which was dubious. I think it probably was a foul, people argue, but I think I don't think that was a howler. I think Lamella was just a bit clever. I think he's been exceptional. And listen, we have let a few goals in since he got here, but I don't think they've all been his fault. They've either been absolute worldies, or someone's made a mistake that he just can't do anything about. I mean, what can he do, for example, with the Lovren and Trent making a mess at Old Trafford? What could he do? You know, West Ham at home, what's he going to do about them goals and stuff when, you know, Antonio just runs and scores? I think Van Dijk's been exceptional. I think he deserves a lot of credit in our recent turnaround, but our team...
He's an organiser as well, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I was about to say, at Watford, again, as I mentioned earlier, I was right by the pitch. And second half, even though the crowd was good, I could hear them shouting, and he never shut up. Especially, I mean, I was on near the halfway line, so as we were in their half, and he was on the halfway line, he was screaming. Especially at set pieces and stuff, you know, throw-ins, blah, blah, blah. He was mouth all the time. And what was impressive was everyone listened. So it'd just be, Sadio, right, or Hendo, left, and he'd just go. So he's obviously, you know, that's his job in the team, not to instruct them.
Future captain?
Possibly. Why does he need to be? People say this all the time, you know. He doesn't need an armband to make him any more vocal or less vocal. He just is. Did Jamie Carragher need an armband to lead? No, he didn't. He got it when you don't need an armband on your arm to say that I'm going to be vocal. I think if Henderson leaves, then yeah, I think he's the ideal. I think he's an ideal one. But I think if Klopp rates Henderson like he does, which we all think he does, say stripping him of the captaincy like some people say, I think that'd kill him. I think that's a massive blow. I think, you know, I think they're affected Sammy Epe for a while when Hulley took it off him. But he took it off him more because he wanted to rein Gerrard in. You know what I mean? And we haven't really got... That would be a completely different situation. So I think he's exceptional. But like I say, the front three deserve all the credit because that's the heartbeat of our team. Man City now, their heartbeat of their team is their two number 10s.
Yeah.
And the two wingers. So they're getting all the credit. Fernandinho's been great, but no one's talking about him. You know, Otamendi...
That's what he'll want as well.
Otamendi's had a very good season. No one's talking about him. You know, why would you? Kyle Walker's been great, but you don't. That's not their job. They know the score. The lads who get talked about in the best teams in the world are the lads who score the goals. You know, why Messi, Ronaldo are the best two players in the world. There have been at times...
It's the hardest job in football.
And there's been defenders who have been absolutely worldies. Look at the Ballon d'Or list, you know. Cannavaro won it in 2006. Since it's always attackers, it's always forwards, because that's what we're there for. So I agree that players do get credit, but what I would say is that no one's hit the levels in our team that Mo Salah's hit, so he deserves all the praise in the world.
Yeah, I agree with that. But the one person that I'd single out, and you've not mentioned them actually, Liam, is Jürgen Klopp. I think, you know, when he bought Mo Salah, he's come out and said he has shaped this team around him, around his skill set, around his elite sort of chance-getting skills that he's got. And you look at it and you think to yourself, Mo Salah wasn't that player at Roma. Mo Salah was brought in probably as just a normal winger for Liverpool. And he's kind of created a role within himself. And Jürgen Klopp's reacted and changed the team around him. And I think that's incredible man management. I think that's incredible tactical management. He's accused of not being good tactically. Well, I'm sorry, he's getting the best out of some lad. He's not scored 36 goals in a season before this season.
Rodgers did it with Suarez and Sturridge. You change your plans when you know what you've got. I read the report, or I heard his comments the other day when they said they signed Salah, they saw what they had and they thought, right, we can do something with this. Let's change the plan. The team was meant to be built around, you know, a bit of Firmino, a bit of Mane, a bit of Salah, and they've gone, actually, no. Because this lad is, like, he's got something, do it around him. Rodgers hated, I think he would have despised playing the formation we ended up playing at times, because it wasn't balanced at all, which, you know, Sturridge sometimes on the right, a bit of Suarez out there. He wouldn't have wanted that, but he had to get a system that fitted his players, and it worked for Rodgers in that 1 year. And Klopp's done the same thing again. The system hasn't changed as much, because I think he always wanted 4-3-3. Obviously, we saw that last year, but it's a different 4-3-3. Last year it was 4-3-3 where the wide players, Mane got chalk on his boots, didn't he? He was a proper winger, and Coutinho was on the left doing bits. Now it's a 4-3-3, but it's the most...
Inside forwards, almost.
Really, really, really narrow with the width provided by your fullbacks. I'm not sure that's how he intended it to be when he put it all together, but he's reacted. He saw this lad who's a superstar, and he's facilitated the team, and that's exactly what he should do.
Okay, there we go. Then that's the podcast for this week. But before we go, if you've enjoyed this, we've put it out on YouTube because everybody in the news show this morning asked us to. Drop a like on it, subscribe to the Redmen TV, and if you're into this long form stuff where we chat a little bit more in depth, but also keep the irreverent fun of Redmen TV in there, then do come over and subscribe to the RedmenTV.com. We do a lot of the long form stuff behind the website, 3, 4, 5 shows a week sometimes, and we really enjoy it. Thanks to everybody who subscribes already. You know, without our paying Redmen TV subscribers, the YouTube channel wouldn't exist. So thanks to everybody. Thanks to Tom behind the camera, of course, and thanks to Sio for joining me on his second ever Redmen TV podcast, the 50th that we've been doing in this run. Anyway, I'll see you next time on the Redmen TV.
That was very radio host. It was, wasn't it? Like, end of the night. Goodbye.
Walk on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.